And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode number 30, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror.
And, you know, our third chair returning again is Henry.
All hail Knox.
Indeed. I guess our first topics for the show is a few demos that have come out recently. A few pretty big demos. At least I was really looking forward to them, and I know a few people were. And you've probably heard people talk about these demos a lot on all the other podcasts that involve video games. But, you know, hopefully we can talk about them differently than they do. First one is Bulletstorm. Now, I've listened to a few podcasts already, and a lot of people are really hating on this game, on this demo.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're like the tag guys, most of them, they were talking about how immature it is with, you know, I guess it's very immature and whatnot.
It reminds me a lot of Duke Nukem.
Exactly. I think one of them made that point, or someone made that point on one of the podcasts I was listening to today. But personally, I kind of get upset when people are hating on it because I love this demo. It's amazing. I've played it probably 15 times just to try to get higher scores. What about you guys?
You're at the top of the leaderboards. at least on my friends list.
Yeah. What about you guys? You've tried it. What do y'all think?
Well, I don't want you to hate me.
Oh, really?
No, man. I mean, I'm not gonna hate on it too bad, but it is. I guess I've kind of grown up and, like, you know, just like Stuart said, you know, with the whole, you know, Duke Nukem type thing, like, I have absolutely no interest in those type of games anymore. Like, I've had my opportunity to play Unreal Tournament and, you know, the Duke Nukems, and I think that's what this is kind of like a rendition of. I mean, it's just good slapstick gamer fun. Like, I mean, you run through stuff, you shoot some guys, you kick some stuff, you just have this big action romp, you know, filled with just, you know, chaos and mayhem. But I think, you know, coming off games like Black Ops and, you know, Reach, you know, in games that have a little bit more concise, constructive first-person shooting, I think that's what kind of, you know, because the enemies, they just run at you, other than, you know, Halo Reach's AI, where the enemies are actually cognizant of what's going on, and they're actually, you know, making you feel challenged. This game, you guys remember that game called The Club?
Never played it, but mm-mm. I've heard people compare that to this.
Yeah, that's what this game is really, really like. Basically, in The Club, you have the same scenario where you just run through and, like, you try to get the most shooting kill combos and things like that. I'm a huge advocate of leaderboards, but as far as just the action romp of just, you know, it's just not for me. I'll just say that it's not for me.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think that a lot of people are the thing I don't like is a lot of people are hating on it, and, you know, and but they're the same people who have been complaining about, you know, oh, another Call of Duty game. It's the same thing. You know, shooters are all the same. It's, you know, the people hating on this are the people who've been complaining for the past couple years that they don't make any unique shooting games, you know? And I mean, the demo is only, like, you can get through it in like three and a half minutes, you know. You can take up to as long as you want, but you can run through it in 3 minutes, and it's their Echoes mode, where it's basically the campaign, but you cut out all the dialect and you just run through the levels to try to, you know, get the highest scores. So it's not even, it's just a small slither of the actual game. the thing I'm mostly excited for, besides, you know, the leaderboards, which I was having fun with the demo, is the co-op. Because, I mean, working with other people to do some crazy stuff that I've seen, you know, clips for, or I've heard, you know, like Cliffy B or Cliff Blazinski or whatever he's calling himself now. I've heard him talk about certain combos you can do and stuff, and that's where I'm mainly excited, is the co-op.
With the combos, every time I went in and tried to do like a repeat of a combo, I always found it kind of hard to repeat it. Like headshot, like I would see the guy's head explode, but I would not get the points for it. That's I think really my biggest concern problem with it is that it's a lot harder to get the easy combos.
Wow, I wasn't having a problem with that at all. I mean, I've actually found some really
I was having no problem blowing their heads off, but I was getting the points for them.
Yeah. I was able to pull off some really crazy combos and actually keep pulling them off, you know, try after try, you know, every time I run through them and try new things and get even higher score. Took me a while. It took me like 4 tries before I could actually break to like actually top of the leaderboards for my friends anyways.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I do see the appeal of it. I mean, it's a good shooter. I mean, it's very responsive. The only thing that I can say, and I'm pretty sure that you guys noticed this, is that I think that Unreal Engine, I think it's starting to show its age a little bit. And most of the character models and, I mean, the guns and everything, they look exactly like Gears. Mm-hmm. Unreal Tournament. I mean, they just look exactly like them. Like, it's almost like they just took the assets and kind of just revamped it a little bit, you know, changed a little spot of hair here and, you know, add like a little small goatee here, and they just changed it up and just made it, you know, into what we have. I just don't feel that it's a full product. But I didn't know they had the co-op mode, though. I mean, that may be fun, but like I said, it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, well, I guess to defend it real quickly, I'm sure they probably just put, you know, guns that seem familiar, you know, to draw in the Gears players, you know. Oh, yeah. This gun's kind of like the Lancer, you know, so I'm more familiar with it. But, you know, then they got the overcharge modes for each of the guns, and, you know, you only had 3 guns in the demo. I'm sure I've heard there are going to be tons more.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more in there.
And like I said, this is just a small slither of the actual package. But and like I said, the main thing that hooked me was hearing about the co-op.
Yeah, and also that if you buy the unlimited edition,
the epic edition.
Yeah, you get the epic edition. You get the Gears 3 beta, which is always good. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, It's kind of just like when they had the Halo 3 beta, when they packed it in with Crackdown. I don't know. I mean, even though Crackdown turned out to be a good success as far as gaming-wise, I don't think Bulletstorm is gonna do the numbers that they're expecting. I mean, but it may be because they may get that crowd to come in and buy it just to get Gears, because I'm probably one of those people that's going to just go in there and get the Gears code so I can play, the beta.
Yeah, well, I got it pre-ordered, and I had it pre-ordered before the demo, and the demo's just made me, you know, just even happier that I have it pre-ordered. I mean, the beta code is great, you know. I'm excited that I'll be in the Gears beta, but you know, just after that demo, I mean, I know the dialogue is the thing that's the most immature about everything. But honestly, I can look past that. I mean,
yeah, and the thing that I do like about most of Epic Games is that if you're real, you know, offense, you know, as far as the language or whatnot, you can go into the options menu and you can turn the gore and the language off too. So, but I do, even from not even a language standpoint, I do see the whole juvenile humor thing. Like, I just feel like I'm beyond that. And I don't know. I mean, I just feel like me as a gamer where I am now, like, I just feel like I'm just beyond that. Like, I need to be playing something more, more mind intriguing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that sounds like a little elitist attitude or whatever. I don't know.
I guess.
I kind of feel ahead. The same way. It just really seemed to be like it was trying really hard to be funny.
And, well, I think maybe they made the game like that on purpose. I'm thinking
they might have, but you know, it was funny back in, you know, 99. Not so much, you know, in 2011.
I guess. I mean, I think a lot of people think they're gonna get like, oh, really? They made that joke? I plan on freaking laughing at how stupid some of the jokes they're gonna make are. I mean, because I really think they're making the humor like this on purpose, like you kind of said about similar to Duke Nukem. I mean. They make the Duke Nukem type games like that on purpose. I mean, they're not trying to be award winning, you know, or whatever. They're just,
well, of course not.
Yeah,
they're just.
I mean, go ahead. But my only thing is like you don't feel like after playing games, you know, like I don't know, like Reach. And Heavy Rain and Call of Duty Black Ops and like things that have come after the Duke Nukems that have kind of refined a little bit more tighter storyline, but like still have the puns and the jokes and things like that, but like made it more feasible as in a cohesive storyline. Do you not think that, you know, I mean, at some point you'll kind of get tired of Bulletstorm and be like, you know what, you know, I spent $60 on this thing. And I mean, the jokes are tired. The jokes are old. And this is real juvenile.
Well, that's why they have that echo mode where it's you go through it without the cutscenes. You know, it's just run through the levels and try to the leaderboards, or they have the co-op mode for it. I mean, I don't expect to go through the campaign numerous times, but I will go through the echo modes, you know, and try to get on the leaderboards or play some co-op with some people. I do plan on that.
So the echo mode is just you just going straight through the different missions without even going to the storyline.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically just for score alone, you know.
Like speed running.
Yeah, speed running. They make it easy for you to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the like I said, the biggest thing, my problem is this game's trying to do something new. I mean, it basically seems like they built the game around the scoring mode. And
I still think of the, you know, the scoring mode should have more than a purpose than just score. Like I want, you know, upgrades and,
well,
you know,
you're going to have,
I want the RPG element with it.
You're going to have upgrades. I think I heard you're going to be able to unlock new weapons with the points you score in like the campaign or whatever, and I think I heard something like that. But I mean,
it's not going to be like an RPG element to where you upgrade each gun specifically. It's not going to get that deep. But I believe that you'll get different assets to your character. So where your character might start off with like a whip chain power or something like that, you may get like a whip chain plus 10 or something, where you can, you know, whip three enemies at the same time and do more combos. That's kind of how they'll probably have it adapted.
Yeah. But I guess that's enough of Bulletstorm. Actually, real quick, I really like the way it looked. It seemed really, I mean, I love the way it kind of looks like Enslaved. It kind of had that Enslaved look to it.
Yeah, especially with the what's the guy that had the, I guess his face was like kind of metalized on or something, where they replaced the side of his eye or something.
That was
pretty cool.
Yeah. But, and it seemed a lot brighter than the Gears type games. So I kind of enjoyed that, but
yeah, it was a little bit more colorful.
Yeah, on to the next demo, Crysis 2. What did you guys think of Crysis 2?
I'm decent.
That's what I think of the demo, man.
I say I'm pretty decent at shooters like, you know, Black Ops and stuff. You know, I can get like a bunch of kills. Crysis 2, I suck. And just like I had a hard time getting kills before. I don't know what it was.
Did you play the original PC version? Like, is that what you're kind of?
I don't have a PC. Well, anywhere near being able to play Crysis.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, actually, right now the PCs nowadays, it's, you don't really need a high tech PC to play Crysis.
Yeah, it can run it.
It's just PCs back like, you know, 5 years ago.
I have a 6-year-old computer.
Ah, okay. But yeah, your middle range PCs nowadays could probably run Crysis. I mean, my laptop can. So, but yeah, I'm pretty damn good at Crysis 2, at least the demo. I found that out, and I'm not too great at other shooters. So, I mean, I can hold my own, you know, but I'm never on the top all the time. But I really enjoyed the. It seemed a bit different. Like the thing I keep saying to other people is you have to know when to use the maximum shield. That's my biggest thing. Is when I see an enemy come around the corner, I press down that bumper and activate the maximum shield. So I've got that extra shield so I can take the enemy down.
Yeah, and that gravity punch is pretty cool too. When you come off a building or something, or you just jump from like a tall terrace or something like that. That's pretty cool. But my expectations for the demo I think were a little bit too high, because I was expecting for it to be this graphical powerhouse on the console. Because when they originally showed the trailers for the PS3 version. For the Xbox 360 version, I think it was almost like 6 months ago, they were showing the trailers for it. It looked tremendously way better than the demo. But the demo is multiplayer, so that could be, you know, a major cause of the assets being kind of, you know, down-rezzed.
Yeah, and the consoles did come out, like, what, 5 years ago, the 360 launched?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really basically been the same hardware for 5 years. So I mean, I'm sure it'll look a lot of people are saying, you know, it's gonna look way much better on the PC, and I'm sure it will. Sure it'll look better on the PS3 even, maybe. But I've heard a lot of people also say they want to play this single player. They want to be able to run through with all the powers and, you know, single player, because they think it'll be a lot more fun, and I kind of agree with that, but I'm not gonna rush out and pick this up day one. I mean, I'm gonna wait to see if the community jumps on it. Definitely. Yeah.
One thing I noticed about it was the kill streaks. You know, you get 3 kills, you get radar to show you, hey, where the enemy is. You get 5 kills, you get something that will come down out of the sky and hit enemies. You get 7 kills. You get an attack chopper. Kind of reminds me of something.
Yeah.
can't quite put my finger on it, but it reminds me of something.
Well, so it's they took some elements from Call of Duty. I mean, yeah, is that something to fault them for? Would you rather not have that type of?
No, it's not. But I mean, have it something different. I mean, you know, kill streaks. Yeah. I don't mind kill streaks, but it's almost carbon copies of what the Call of Duty ones are.
Yeah, that's true, but it's also a demo. It's not the full fledged game. So yeah, there could be tons to choose from.
I mean, yeah, I mean, but you know that this stuff is going to be in the full game in some shape, form, or fashion. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, with the whole cloaking and the, you know, maximum shields. I mean, they took that from, like, you know, like the Halo games and things like that. It's kind of like Crysis is trying to be a jack of all trades, but they are a master of none. You know, like, just focus on what you do best. You know,
looking for.
Yeah, I've been playing with a lot of people from the community, and I mean, people like Knucklehead and Ace Black, they're loving it.
Yeah, I was in a party with them playing it.
Yeah, I think they're gonna pick it up day one or pretty close to it. See, I say I'm gonna wait for to see if the community jumps on it, but you know, if I'm hoping they do, because like I said, I'm really good at this. I can get up to like 13-2 and stuff like that. I mean, I haven't even for the longest time I didn't even know there was the kill streaks, and I was just earning them, not using them. But the demo is pretty lengthy. I mean it's got a lot of stuff. I mean, you can unlock the classes and level up and customize, and it's a pretty good demo. But I think there's a lot of bugs in it. As far as like some of, I know a lot of people are complaining about the melee being overpowered.
Yeah, there were some big things going on with that, man.
Yeah, you get hit and you go sailing, literally.
You just got to use your maximum armor before you get hit.
Well, I mean, you are a super soldier. I mean, you are a super soldier that has this maximum power suit, so. I mean, technically, if you want to get nerdy about it, I mean, it is. That's
so
almost
was
accurate.
A Spartan. but you weren't
yeah, but you're fighting
that
other...
far.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I mean, but I think it'll do good. Have they announced any co-op mode for it yet or at all?
I honestly don't know. I really haven't paid too much attention to it.
Man,
but you're the co-op king though.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard anything about co-op, so if they have, they haven't really made it publicly known, you know. I don't think there's any co-op to it. I think it's just single-player and multiplayer.
Yeah, I just can't understand why developers keep releasing these games without some type of a co-op mode in some fashion. I mean, just...
At least, you know, two-player co-op, because a lot of games now are coming out with... You got... four-player co-op. Gears is coming out with four-player. You got, what is it, Brink, that's coming out with eight-player co-op?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean...
I just don't understand it. I mean, even something down to, like, the, you know, Rainbow Six, they have the four-player in the first Rainbow, and they kind of streamlined it down to two people to kind of keep, like, the cluster bomb worth of, you know, stuff going on in the game more simplified. But even something like Modern Warfare 2, they had the you know, the Spec Ops mode. But, you know, Black Ops, they got the zombie mode, which, I don't know, I think that's kind of useless, just shooting enemies over and over again.
Well, it's pretty fun. I mean, they've got the zombie mode's pretty fun. It's got different weapons, and you have to get through the buildings and different waves of different types of zombies. It's pretty entertaining if you've got a group of people and you're playing. But
yeah, I just think nowadays most first person shooters should have at least some type of form of co-op mode. I mean, especially in the campaign. I mean, yeah, because not all the time do you want to just sit down there by yourself just running through the campaign. I mean, at least you should have the option.
I definitely agree with that. I can't argue with that. I do gotta say, I did play the original Crysis though on the PC. I didn't play the entire thing, but I played it at a friend's house because I had a friend who had a, like, it was just a crazy gaming rig he had. I mean, he could run Crysis full on, you know. This was like 4 years ago. It was pretty crazy, but yeah, and I'm having a lot more fun playing on a controller than using the mouse and keyboard. I definitely think they mapped the buttons properly for this.
You know, you just blasphemed against the entire PC community, didn't you?
Well, I mean, I let me rephrase that. I'm having more fun than I thought I would playing, you know, because like I said, I think they really set it up to where it's playable on a controller. You know, right. Unlike a lot of PC games where, you switch over and you just can't play them because... You know, it's just they didn't really port it well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm most definitely a controller guy. I'm like an old Counter-Strike guy that actually played back in the day. Then when Halo came out, it was a wrap. I was all controller as far as first-person shooters. But you get some people that just say, "Oh, are you crazy? You know, you're insane. You're playing with a controller, keyboard, and mouse is so much better. You know, all this." But you know.
Ooh. Oh, sorry. Big thunder just happened. I don't know if y'all heard that or not.
Yeah, we did.
I heard a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm
there's a storm coming in.
Yep, there is. More of a blizzard, but...
We're on a blizzard watch here.
This seems like half the country is.
Yeah. It's blowing through everywhere. We're actually supposed to have icy rain tomorrow, so... If we do, y'all know I'll be at home on Twitter and Xbox.
Yeah, I'll be on Xbox too. If I have power.
I'll be on WoW, but
yeah, we know you will. But I guess we can go to the Breach. The Breach came out, the Xbox Live arcade game, $15. I unfortunately have not gotten a chance to play it because I have it downloaded, but a lot of people have told me it's pretty bad.
You're not missing anything.
No.
You're not missing anything.
It's not worth 15.
No.
Maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe pushing it 5 is reasonable. Because there's 5 maps, and I don't know about you, but I've had a hard time getting more than 2 people in a match.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I usually do this most time whenever they have those time limits. They have like a 30-minute time limit. So I played on my wife's profile for about, I think like the full 30 minutes. I think I have like a minute or something left on hers. Then I switched over to mine. But the majority of that time was me jumping inside of matches by myself, where I'm the only person in there. And I was just really, because I couldn't find anybody to actually link up into a match with. So I just created a match and just let the controller just sit there for, you know, hours on end, and nobody would jump into a game with me. So I was like, well, since I'm wasting time, let me just go ahead and jump in here. So I can test out, you know, the engine and the play space and stuff like that. So I'm walking around in this big, vast map by myself, like shooting out walls and using the, you know, the bazooka to shoot out buildings and everything, and seeing how far the engine can get pushed as far as the detail destruction. It does a pretty good job of it, but man, the graphics are no. Yeah, I mean the graphics are kind of feel like they're just shaved over. Like nothing has a lot of detail to it. I don't know. It just feels glossed over. Like nothing has been perfected in this game. The hate that when I finally got into a match and played with some people, I think it was like it was maybe 2-on-3, and that's the most I've ever got in any match that I played on the Breach demo. Played a little bit of that. The hit detection is horrible. The maps are imbalanced. I mean you had guys that were perching up on top of the mountain, and you figure out like how do they get up there.
Because they get to a certain point and then they blow the bridge. Away, how they got there,
right? And then they sit over there and they just pick you off because you can't get to them. Like you can probably go through. I think it was this one snow stage we were playing on. You can go through the back area, but if they get so far and they blow stuff up in front of them, like there's no way to get to them, and they can just sit over there and just perch and pick people off all day long. But aside from that, I mean, the game is just terribly unbalanced. I mean, the maps are unbalanced. Just the shooting mechanics, they feel a little bit clunky. They feel familiar, but they're clunky. I mean, there's so many other shooters out there that are just, you know, way better. Like, I think there's one shooter that came out last year. It's called Blacklight Tango Down. That shooter, I think they dropped it to $10. You can buy that and have a better experience than Breach.
Yeah, or like Zabari's favorite game, Monday Night Combat. That's a game that's worth $15.
Oh yeah,
if you can get people to play it now. But Breach, well, I really think that was a. I think that it was unfortunate that it's bad. Because who's going to want to pay $15 to play a game that has the problems and is bad like that when you've got the Crysis 2 demo that's, you know, multiplayer, and then you're going to have, you know, in a couple days you're going to have the Killzone 3 open beta, which is basically another demo, you know. You've got two pretty good games, demos of games that will scratch that multiplayer itch, you know, that are free.
Yeah, well, and if you just also want something, oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, also, you can save that $15, and then in a couple of days buy the Black Ops.
Tomorrow, I think.
Is it tomorrow? Is it? Yeah,
it's the first.
Yeah.
Okay. Then yes.
Or if you don't have Black Ops, or you don't want to buy those map packs for it, honestly, if you haven't played Battlefield 1940-43. Mm-hmm. That's a real good alternative, because that game has destructible environments, destructible areas, and it's a much better made game.
Yes, so, definitely.
A lot better quality. I mean, you can fly airplanes, you got vehicles and stuff like that, and it gives you that destructibility somewhat that you want. Because, you know, I don't know, Breach is no.
Yes, or like Stuart said, you can spend that $15 on the Black Ops map pack, and if you don't have the game, you can leave a review on the Open Forum Radio's iTunes feed, and you know, you'll get registered to win a copy of Black Ops.
Wait,
smooth
plug that.
Segwaying, brother.
Nice plug.
promised them I'd pimp that out some, so. But
that was nice hunt timing. Good time.
Yeah. But yeah, I like I said, I think it's unfortunate it's not as good as everyone thought it would be when you've got those free demos that are out or coming out that, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've played the Crysis 2. I've played it a few nights, at least an hour, hour and a half with, you know, Knucklehead, Ace Black, a bunch of other people. So, I mean, and the thing I knew, the reason that made me know it was bad was when Zabari said he wasn't feeling it. Mr. Arcade Game, you know, himself.
Yeah.
Said he wasn't feeling Breach.
Definitely.
But yeah, I guess we can go on to the next topic. Honestly, I don't know what the 13th zodiac sign.
Yeah, there's been talk lately that there's a 13th zodiac sign. I can't try to pronounce the name. It's, you know, Ophiuchus. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. But it's. But like with the way like the zodiac signs work is the position of the sun, like where the sun moves across that constellation, that's the zodiac sign. And there's 13, there's 12. Now people are saying there's 13 because the earth is now tilted more, and it now goes across another one in between Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Huh. Wow. That's crazy. Probably the end of the world Yahoos are probably going to use this as another, you know, theory that the world's going to end in 2012.
Well, like, that also just moves everybody's sign, though. Like, for example, Libra is now October 30th through November 23rd.
Oh, that is crazy. I wonder what I am now.
Because I used to be a Scorpio. Apparently, according to this, I'm now a Libra.
I was a Virgo, and I don't know what would I be. I don't know any.
And Scorpio is November 23rd to November 29th. That's only a couple days long. That is 6 days. Is that right? Did I do the math right? Yeah, 6 days. For Scorpio. Yeah,
that is pretty crazy. I don't know. I think that I don't know if this is something to really be truthful or not, because I mean,
I think it's bonk. I don't believe it's true, because you know, Scorpio's 6 days long. Sagittarius is now December 17th through January 20th. That, and then the new one is in between that, November 29th to December 17th, and that's just.
I just think it's nonsense. Just like the whole Pluto's a planet, it's not a planet, whatever stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't let a certain sign or whatever define me. Like, I don't get up in the morning and look at the newspaper and say, "Hey, I'm going to meet somebody today," or "Watch out for this. Don't go out of the house." Man, I don't know.
I automatically get that delivered. Scarfinger's got his Twitter set up to Virgo posts, so I see that stuff anyways automatically. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think Phoenix, he has that set up too, I think.
Yeah, he does.
But I mean, I look at that stuff sometimes just out of curiosity, you know, just, you know, if I got nothing to do, I'll just look it up and be like, I wonder what it says about Virgos. Just, you know, just out of curiosity's sake. I don't take that to heart, like, oh my God, I'm going to have a horrible day today. Or,
yeah.
I mean. But.
I mean, it's, you know, people are like, oh my God, my sign has changed. This tattoo is useless. It doesn't make sense now. But apparently it only counts for this, for the babies born this year. Like, if you were born, you know, before this year, you're good. Your sign stays.
I mean, what's going to happen when all those other people grow up and they start meeting people and they're like, I'm a this and I'm a that. And no, you're not, because this happened after. Well, I was actually born before 2009.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you do? I don't know, man. I just think it's, I don't know. I think that you have the ability to govern your own actions and, you know, make whatever happen is going to happen. I mean, you govern by a whole higher standard of rules. I mean, you know, if it says you're going to have a bad day or whatever, or your sign changes or it didn't change, that doesn't define you. You are who you are.
Yeah. The funny thing I think, is it's going to really make that, cheesy pickup line very awkward now. You know, hey baby, what's your sign? That's actually a good question. I don't know what my sign is now.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's actually interesting. I really didn't look anything up on it when I saw it, because I figured you would explain it, but that's pretty bizarre, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. Who's going to say it's not true? I could say my sign is Bob the Lumberjack.
I mean, because who says it is true? Like who exactly makes this stuff up? Like, it kind of seems like they're just kind of going along with it as it goes. Like, okay, we're just going to make this up and we're going to change this now. I mean, if something has been a certain way all this time, then why would you go change it? Like, who is changing it? And you know, I mean, is there a committee to change the signs or something, or what?
And does that mean like the Chinese zodiac gets another one, or
yeah.
what?
I mean, it gets the cat.
that's pretty funny. But next is another topic that a lot of people have been talking about. And
I don't know, just talk about this.
Hopefully we can discuss some points that people haven't touched on, because I know listening to certain podcasts, people have said stuff, and then, you know, because certain people have did their podcast early so they could talk about it and be the first ones out, you know. But then, you know, more news came out about the new PSP 2 or the NGP. So yeah. Now we have more.
Name. I hate that name.
It's really code name.
It's just a code name.
I really hate that Natal. Name.
It's like Natal.
You'll forget about it as soon as they release the new name. It's just like Will said. As soon as Kinect came out, everybody forgot about Natal. Like, you exactly. don't even say Natal no more.
Exactly. Yeah,
but still, I don't like that name.
Well, don't worry.
Next generation portable.
Don't worry, they'll come out and they'll announce it's the PSP2. I mean, Sony's just kind of unoriginal with their names, and I really don't care. You know, a lot of people say that as a bad thing. I don't really care, you know? They could have called it the Xbox 2, and I would have been happy with it. I mean,
true, yeah.
I mean, as long as it's a good console and I'm having as long as it's a good product and I'm having fun with it, you can call it whatever the hell you want. I don't care.
Yeah, and it actually says PlayStation on the front of the unit, so it's going to be PlayStation something. We just don't know what at this time. But I mean, you know, it's whatever. Yeah.
So Nox, do you want to start since you wrote the article
about this? I'll start it up. If you don't know, if you've been under a rock or you know sleep the last week,
longer than Sony, that.
Yeah, exactly. Sony announced their next generation portable, or NGP. I'll just call it the PSP2. It's going to be Sony's new handheld portable unit. We can start going into details, I guess, as far as the specifications on it. And you can also look up the article. It's on thegeeksforthewin.com. I'll just start off with the media, which is probably everybody's curiosity. It is going to be downloadable titles, much like the PSP Go. But Sony's also going to have their own proprietary, it looks like an SD card.
Flash-based.
Like a flash-based card or whatever. Nobody really knows a whole lot about the card yet. Sony says that they're going to have physical media. So you'll still be able to go and buy your physical media, which is like a big, you know, sigh of relief to me, because I'm like a big advocate of physical media. I mean, I like downloadable content, but I like to own whatever I buy.
And no also, UMDs. Yay.
Yeah. the only thing that I can say about that as far as the physical media and I haven't looked at I haven't found any information on the specs of the actual SD card or flash-based memory that they're going to be using. But as far as piracy, because we know how bad piracy was on the PSP 1000, 2000, 3000 generation. So I just feel like when these hackers get a hold to this flash media-based card, it's going to be so easy to boost those cards and do whatever you want to them. So hopefully they'll have some type of secure netcode or something like that on these cards to kind of keep it secure. The next thing, we'll just kind of go into the actual unit itself.
Yes, time to get a geek boner.
Yeah. the actual unit itself, I mean, everybody will finally, speaking of boners, you'll actually finally get that second analog nub.
And it's an analog stick, not just a nub.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually protruding from the actual unit rather than just being recessed. So you don't have to use, you know, the top lip of your thumb trying to make this thing go. So you'll have both analog sticks on it, on both the left and also the right. Of course, the D-pad is placed a little bit above it. And there's pictures all on the website if you go to geeksforthewin.com. This is something cool about it that I liked about it, is that it has the touch panel, since this is the screen on the front and also on the back. I really don't know what that's going to be used for. People have made some speculations of certain games that you'll be able to play with front back face type games. The only thing that I can think of, which would probably be cool, is if they did like something like Battleship for the PSP2. That would be cool. Like, you know, if me and you, you know, we're playing and you're on the back side of the PSP2 and I'm on the front side with like my Battleship pieces and everything, and then you're on the back side. That would be kind of a cool use for that dual touchscreen.
Yeah, I've heard there's some game out there demoing where it shows the back touch panel, and you can like create mountains or something. Some weird game people have been talking about. I haven't been able to find it though, the actual video that they've been talking about. But it's definitely interesting. I mean, I don't really know too many devices with front and back touchscreen type.
Yeah. Other, you know, than Battleship or, you know, something like that, I can't see, you know, like a racing game or something. You're going along, you want to look behind you. Flip the PSP over, look behind you. What? No. I just don't see the point.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that, but.
Well, that was the only thing I come up with, but.
It's not an actual screen on the back, though, right? It's just a touch.
It's just a touchpad on the back, but they say that it can. Well, they say that it probably will have the capability to display things, because if you look on the back of it, it's a there's like the bunch of the the X, O, and triangles or whatever. So I don't know if it's going to be able to do that or if that's just going to be touch sensitive, because it doesn't make any sense for it to be touch sensitive if you can't see anything registering. So. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's going to or not, but that's one of those speculatory things. But I guess the next biggest thing is, of course, it's going to have 3G on the top tier model. All the models will have Wi-Fi, if I'm not mistaken. But the top tier model will, of course, have 3G on it, which is huge. I mean, in this market today. And also getting into the inner parts of it, it's going to have a quad core CPU, and also the GPU is also quad core also. So I mean, this thing is going to be a powerhouse. I mean, it's going to be, you know, I mean, it's literally going to be a PS3 in your pocket. I mean, if you can just kind of, if they can fulfill that dream of it being that PSP in your pocket, I think that it does have the potential to be the gamer's or the geek's choice. The only thing is that another cool thing that they did was they kind of got away from the XMB cross media bar type structure UI, and they added more like an app UI where like you touch each app. It looks from the pictures that they've shown, seems like there's maybe about 11 to 10 apps on screen at one time, where you select your music player, you select the PlayStation Store, games, so on and so forth, music, movies, things of that nature.
Yeah, we'll get on this later, but it's supposed to be able to run the PlayStation Suite, which is also going to run on other Android phones, so it may have Android on it.
Right, exactly.
They haven't really said too much on the, you know, on the software part of it, so it may run Android, which if it does, that's a plus for me.
Yeah. So I mean it really does look like finally Sony's getting the big picture as far as like looking at other companies. I mean, with the whole UI change, I mean they're taking pages out of the book of Apple, you know, coming out with the PlayStation Suite, where you'll have downloadable content software that you can access very, very quickly. Just with the whole structure of just the menu system, period, it's not all convoluted anymore. Everything's in its place. Very, very easy to access.
This really puts all the new smartphones to shame, because everyone was so hyped about dual core phones. You know, oh my God, dual core phones, but this has a quad core.
Oh yeah, of course.
I was expecting maybe it would have a dual core, but I was not expecting a quad core.
No, I wasn't expecting that at all. And also, speaking of phones, it is going to have a front and rear camera. So, I mean, as far as it being a device, even if you're not a gamer, I mean, it's a good device to load your music up on. It's a good device to, you know, hopefully they'll be able to support the PlayStation Suite, which is like the software-based network that Sony is bringing out. Did you want to elaborate more on that, Will?
Basically, the Sony Suite is going to be the PlayStation Store for basically it's going to be on the Sony, you know, the new the NGP, whatever, you know, they end up calling it. And it'll be on their they haven't announced it, but it's going to be on their PlayStation phone or their Xperia, you know, Play or whatever they're calling it. But and it will be on 2.3, which is gingerbread Android phones, that the ones that Sony, you know, basically says are it's PlayStation certified. And this is a big step because their Android has a big market, and they're bringing it they're not just making their own PlayStation phone and, you know, like kind of like Apple has Microsoft, you know, and they just have it exclusive to their phones. They're making it through the entire Android phones,
right,
as an app. That could be pretty big. And yeah, a lot of people haven't really talked about this, which I'm kind of surprised because it's a big step. I mean, not only are they getting into their own handheld devices even more, but they're expanding, you know, to where, you know, if Stuart's droid, whenever it gets 2.3, he could play, you know, certain PlayStation games on it, you know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Just really, like, I need to see, like, more how it would look. I need to see more examples of actually how, like, it would look on the phone. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just need more.
They actually had I was following a live blog. They actually had Uncharted 2. They don't know if this was a Killzone game, but I think they were showing a trailer, kind of like a proof of concept. They were showing a couple movies on it. But from what I've seen from like different videos and things like that, I mean, it looks like it can actually reproduce everything that they're kind of promising.
That's on the NGP, not the PlayStation.
Oh yeah,
Suite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah. I mean, well, it kind of harkens back to what you said last podcast, Will, is that hopefully with this suite they'll be able to price these things correctly. Because I mean, if they come out and these games are, you know, $10. You know, $10, $12, $9, even $7. It's going to be kind of hard for, you know, the Android market, you know, that has been spoiled on these, you know, 99-cent games, $2 games, $3 games, to kind of come in and be like, you know, well, I'm going to go ahead and drop $10 because it's a PSP game or whatever, or it's a PlayStation game.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at an article about it right now, and it's going to have PS1 classic games on it, the PlayStation Suite, that is, yeah, as well as, I'm sure, you know, like maybe PSN type games, like being able to play, like, I guess maybe Flower on your phone, or Pixel Junk Shooter or something like that. I'm guessing.
As long as I can play Spyro, I'm fine.
Yeah, but like I said, this is a big step for Sony because they're reaching out, you know, beyond their actual devices. They're putting the games and the software on other devices. They're not just, you know, trying to monopolize. Like, you look at the Windows Phone 7s, you know, of course they have a few different phones, but those are the only phones you can use the Xbox on. And there's not nearly as much as maybe 10 to 1 Android to Windows Phone 7, if not more, as far as the market goes.
Yeah, and see, that's where I think that Sony has a potential, just once again, if they do it right. I mean, if they get behind this thing and they market it well and they make the normal consumer understand who they are, you know, I mean, because we know, I mean, people, you know, I mean, we're on blogs, we're on the video game websites every day looking at this stuff, knowing about it, but they need to find a way to capitalize on the normal consumer knowing about their product. I feel like if they can do that and then break into that mass crowd, then that has a potential to actually give them more money. It's kind of like a Sega deal. I mean, Sega, they make all software now. I mean, they don't even have a hardware piece anymore because their software carried them and is still today carrying them and is more viable than any hardware that they could have ever come out with. And I think that extra, you know, influx of money will help them, you know, create more better software for the Xperia phone, better you know, content for the PSP. But like I said, they have to have that mass appeal, and I think this has the potential to do that because of the Android market is so huge. And I'm just wondering why Nintendo and Microsoft haven't jumped on that same bandwagon, because I mean, let me tell you, if they came out with Super Mario Brothers, the original for my iPhone, I'd be all on that. I'll pay $5 for it. I'll pay $10 for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can get emulators on the Android phones, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do work pretty nicely for the older games. But, you know, I was saying this, Stuart can, you know, be my witness. I was saying I'd love for Microsoft to come out with an app, you know, where for all the different types of phones, you know, before they even announced this. And here comes Sony, you know, making the move first. And this is really going to, you know, help them reach out to, you know, the people who have the Android phones who aren't typical gamers. You know, they'll see, oh, I can play some PlayStation games on my phone. I'll give that a shot. And yeah, they'll get addicted to it. And then they'll think, you know, they're releasing a PSP 2 coming out. Maybe I should, you know, I'm liking the games on my phone that I'm playing, but maybe I should look into this. I mean,
yeah, because it's definitely a good way
to suck them in.
Yeah. I mean, cause I actually rummaged through, you know, the App Store, you know, a couple days out of the week. And I see things like, you know, like Modern Combat and, you know, Combat Sim and things like that or whatever, which are basically just copies of Call of Duty and Halo. How much more powerful would it be to have the PlayStation name brand behind it and say, hey, you have Killzone on your phone? You know, don't worry about it, because these phones nowadays can run it. I mean, you got dual core phones, you got phones coming out, you know, that are capable to, you know, run that the Rage engine from Epic and things like that. And then having that name brand behind it, I mean, I don't really see how they could lose if they have a good marketing campaign behind it.
And the price is fair.
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely excited for PlayStation Suite, which is supposed to come out within the calendar year, not the physical year, the calendar year. So it will be out in 2011, according to the reports. But I guess we can get back on the PlayStation 2 or the NGP.
Oh yeah.
We stayed within Sony, so it's yeah, all good.
Well, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I talked about the 3G capability, and also, of course, it's going to have built-in Wi-Fi. I kind of touched on it briefly earlier. It is going to have, of course, the left and right trigger buttons. So if you're playing a first-person shooter, possibly Killzone. The lineup that they showed, a couple of these are kind of concepts, but these are games that Sony wants to make for the NGP. They want to make Uncharted, Killzone, Wipeout, Resistance, Little Big Planet, Hustle Kings, and Hot Shots Golf. With a couple that they actually you know, talked about and showed. Now, bear in mind that these titles won't necessarily be their PS3 counterpart. they'll actually be other games made by different development houses. Kind of like they did God of War. What's the God of War PSP game?
Chains of Olympus.
Chains of Olympus.
Right, right, exactly. It'll kind of be like that, where it'll be a brand new experience. So they're kind of not going to just shovel you the same thing and call it sugar. I mean, they're actually giving you new experiences within the same world with just about the same type of graphics. The Uncharted game that they showed, it looked really, really impressive from the live blog that I was watching, a couple of videos that I've seen throughout the week. If it's capable of doing that for long amounts of time, because we get into things like battery life and things like that, kind of the same issues that the 3DS was talking about, because of the fact that this thing is a quad core, it is going to have an OLED screen. So right now we really don't know. I mean, they're speculating maybe about 3.5 to about 4 hours worth of actual playing time, battery life. But I'm probably guessing that 4 to 5 hour time period is probably going to be with the Wi-Fi turned off, 3G turned off.
I'm thinking the battery life's going to be better than that.
I say that's pretty terrible. Sure.
I'm pretty sure they can stick a quad core in a mobile device, then they can basically create a battery that would last longer than 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, because the unit is pretty big, so, I mean, you never know. I mean, they may do the same thing that they did with the PSP 3000, and you may be able to buy, the longer life extended batteries and things like that for it. So hopefully they'll go ahead and support it in that way. I'm really hoping that they do, because, I mean, at first I was kind of a little bit down, but I'm actually liking the PSP 2, because I kind of like the idea of having a PSP. I'm sorry, a PS3 in my pocket, and that's kind of been like the general consensus comment that people have been making. But I mean, it almost is virtually true. But I don't know. What do you guys think,
Stuart? You haven't really said much.
Me and Sony. I think what really got me, like, to maybe thinking about getting one, maybe the extra analog stick, because like then I could play an actual shooter and it'd control the way I would expect it to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't know enough to really give a really good opinion about it.
Yeah,
like,
well,
until I get one like in my hands at a demo like Best Buy or something like that, I can't really say much about it until I see it for myself.
That's fair. I'm looking actually at one of the links I put in the show notes about the Jack Tredden interview, and he's saying that they're looking to improve the battery life upon the original PSP, and they're saying it lasted for 4.5 to 7 hours at launch. So, if they're looking to improve on that, then I'm sure it'll last at least that long.
Hopefully it will.
Yeah, but
I'm also kind of like in the same boat as Stuart, because they said that the PSP 2000 was supposed to be the new proof of concept. They said that the PSP Go was supposed to be the proof of concept. I just hope that the PSP2 or the NGP is the fruition of all of those concepts, and they just don't let it just fall by the wayside. I mean, where's Marcus at? I mean, I want to see some.
seen him since E3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel that hint of Sony arrogancy in this, because there was a statement that he said in the article. He said people will find a way to buy it within reason. I think that if you could create content that consumers see as compelling, they'll find money that they didn't think they had.
And he makes an example about the Kinect, which a lot of people bitched and complained that it was $150, but look at people now. That a lot of people have the Kinect. I know a lot of people I know on my friends list have the Kinect. he made, I think that was a good example he made in the article. But
you don't think that comment is a little bit arrogant? Like
But I mean, hopefully it can, you know, the NGP will be able to back up that arrogance. I mean, you talk about the PSP 1000, 2000, 3000. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of
Don't forget the PSP Go.
Yeah, PSP Go, that was kind of bad. But look at Nintendo. When they started out, they had the Game Boy Pocket, the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Micro, the Game Boy Advance,
Right, but see, the only thing is they did that.
They repeat, rinse, and repeat with the DS.
Right, exactly. But here's the key factor: Nintendo got behind. I mean, when the first Game Boy came out, other than the first iterations of the PSP in their portable, you know, foray, Nintendo has been extremely successful with every one of their handheld consoles ever since the first Game Boy came out. They've been terribly successful, and it's because they've had the software there. Like, I mean, I remember playing the Game Boy. They had, you know, the Mario World was there, Wario was there. They made new and inspiring titles. I mean, they had the Castlevanias and things like that that made you want to go get a Game Boy. They had Tetris, which was huge. I mean, they had the software lineup behind it, and it was a different type of experience. Like, you can go home and you can play Mario World. But when you're on the go, you got an opportunity to play this bite-sized chunk of Mario. But it was still Mario in so much to where the software felt familiar, but it wasn't as drawn out. And I think that's what PSP, that's what Sony hasn't had in their bank to capitalize on that chunk of an experience that makes me feel like it's familiar to what I have at home with my PS3, but yet still give me I guess the excitement and the gameplay of what I know. So, you know.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. But, I mean, I think they're launching, you know, or announcing the actual product and the specs is basically – they basically come out and said, you know, we've actually listened to what y'all have been saying. And we know you don't like the UMDs. We know digital download only isn't, you know, the way to go. So you have both choices. We gave you the extra analog stick. You know, this thing has a lot of power behind it. I think they really listened to a lot of the complaints that they have, basically the consumers, you know, us, we've made about the devices. And I think this device will actually do well, because I think they've actually learned from their mistakes, you know, because getting into the handheld market was, you know, a new thing for them. I mean, they had just when they got in the handheld market, they had just gotten the hang of the actual console market. I mean, so I guess I'm just hoping for the best, really.
Yeah, we just really need to know more. Yeah, like, there's just too much that it's just completely unknown. Like the 3G Wi-Fi plans or whatever, is that going to cost? Is there going to be a data plan?
I'm just going to get Wi-Fi, and I can just Wi-Fi tether through my Android. So.
Yeah. Is it going to be something like the Kindle, or is it going to be something more or less like the iPhone? Is there going to be a plan for it?
It's going to be I think it's going to be like the iPad, where you have the plan for it. It's not going to be the Kindle where it's free. No way.
Okay. Quick question to both of you. Okay. Day one, the PSP2 or NGB or whatever they call it. Day one, whenever it drops at $349. Are you picking it up?
If everything
at 350,
at 350, if we get more information about it, and it's, you know, it seems like what it is, you know, what they've basically said it was going to be. Yeah. If we see more good things about it, 350, hell yeah.
How about you, Stu?
Well, yeah, of course, if you know we hear more good things about it, people are going to buy it. But I just don't know yet. I probably not, because I'm not that big into portable gaming to really even say, even really spend that much.
Okay, got another question for you. Okay, mom and son, or mom and daughter, dad and daughter, whoever, parent, child. Casual gamer walks inside a retail store. They have the 3DS, 250, PSP 2, 350. What are they picking up, in your opinion?
It's not that simple of a question, because I mean, if they don't know too much about the devices, they're definitely gonna ask the person, you know, the clerks or whatever, the people working at wherever you're at, and they'll talk about it, and maybe they'll be like, for just a little extra, you know, you can get so much more because you already have a DS already, Susie or Timmy or whatever. Because I mean, I really don't think too many parents would buy and, you know, another DS for their kids when most kids nowadays already have a DS or they've probably gone through a DS or a DSi and then got the DS XL or what, you know. I don't know. I mean, I think this device is more for, you know, the more of the hardcore type gamer or the big tech guy. But I definitely can see, you know, me picking this up if it's, you know, 350 or 300. I mean, if it gets higher than that, I may have to think, because thinking about the tech in it, that's impressive, because you look at these phones, you know, and they're like $200 with a 2-year contract. Yeah. If you don't get a contract, they're like $500, $600. So, you know, looking at it that way, that's pretty good. And I just can see so many things that Sony can do with this. I mean, they, if it is Android based, you know, they could add the Google TV to it, because Sony's a big partnership with Google TV. I mean, if you can, you know, play Uncharted 3 on your PS3 and then, you know, port it over to your, you know, download it to your PSP, you know, and, you know, continue it on the road, that's a big thing. Definitely. That would be a big thing for me, because I'm a college student. I have like an hour to 2 hours in between classes that, you know, I use it for studying, but sometimes I don't have anything to do. So if I can pick up where I left off, you know, playing Uncharted or Killzone, you know, that's a big step. I mean,
right,
there's a lot of unknowns yet, but as far as the tech goes, $350, I think that's a reasonable price.
Yeah. Well, I just threw $350 out there because it's in between both price points. But honestly, my prediction that this thing, with everything it has in it and all the technology that they're putting inside of, especially with those quad cores and it being from the Sony camp, I think it's going to be $400 out of the gate.
I don't know. I mean, they did say it's going to be affordable. There's another link, you know, where I put in the show notes where they're talking about it will be affordable.
Well, according to them, affordable is also $600.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they said it's not going to be. It's saying they were laughing at the idea of it being the price of the PS3 when it launched. They were laughing at that idea.
Okay, $550. It's down.
Okay, well, Jack, we'll see, because Jack is telling me that I'm going to find money that I didn't know I had.
Well,
that's what he's telling me.
Well, he's also saying that $150 is you know, people thought $150 was a lot for the Kinect. So, I mean, he's making the point where 150 is a lot. I mean, so if he's making the point that 150 is a lot, then who knows what?
Is he saying it's going to be $100?
What? No, but I could see it being either 300 or maybe 350. Definitely. It's all just speculation, really. Yeah. I mean, that we can't really comment. I know a lot of people are, you know, saying it's going to fail. It's going to fail because it's going to be, you know, $400-$500, but you don't know that. I mean,
oh no. No, I'm not saying that it's going to fail by any means, but saying
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying other people.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a huge chunk of money. I mean, you know, I may have the money at the time to go out and buy it, but like I've said, you know, before in the previous podcast, you know, I really don't use portable gaming that much, but this is really getting me excited to the point to where I'm kind of curious, because if I can jump in and I can play my games and like you said, Will, and I can transfer, you know, my saves in like some type of media form where I can pick up where I just left off. That's kind of cool to me, because then I can kind of finish, you know, my stuff for podcasting. I can kind of finish, you know, my own personal gaming, you know, things that I'm excited about that I'm playing at home. I can finish it on the go, which is, you know, really, really good for me. But I don't know. I just think that they need to price the games accordingly. If they're going to bring it out at like a high price point, they have to pack in something with it to kind of get people excited for it.
Yeah, I can see that. And real quick, the PlayStation Suite also is going to have non-gaming related apps too. So, I mean, this thing could have an e-reader, you know, it definitely, if it's running Android, which, you know, it's not, we don't know anything about, but if it does, you know, you can get all kinds of e-reader apps and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean,
a PlayStation Suite having an e-reader app on an Android phone, that's kind of pointless because there's the Kindle app and that's free.
But I'm saying on this device, if they have it, if they have like...
True, yeah.
It'll probably be free if they bring it out on the actual device.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the content, you know.
I'm sure there'll be one on the device.
I'm just saying the possibilities of what this device can do is, you know, I honestly don't know all the stuff that it could do. You know, it's basically up to Sony and the game developers, which I know a lot of people are saying, you know, talking about how the PS3 was slow to get good games because it was so hard to develop for, and people are saying, you know, that this will probably be so hard to develop for. Well, those people are kind of ignorant, because they've shown, you know, they've shown Metal Gear Solid 4 on it, the device, and they've said it's not that difficult to port PS3 games, you know, to the device. So that basically shows that it's not going to be too difficult to develop, you know.
Yeah, and you know, they also had the dev kits out to developers, because that's where I was getting all the leaks from, you know, as far as the hazy pictures and all the stuff from. They were giving these dev kits to the developers early. So unlike the PS3, you know, they've actually, you know, been on top of helping the developers help them, you know. I mean, you know, because they had to get it out there some type of way. So, I mean, I think it's going to do well, just as well as anything else, but I think Sony has a lot of opportunities to capitalize on that mass appeal market, and on us also, even people that are into the whole, you know, tech concept and everything else. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, I mean, I'm a tech guy. I have an iPhone. My wife has an iPhone. I got several devices in my house that do, you know, I mean, a lot more. I was just talking to you guys before the show about a toss up between getting a, you know, some type of netbook or laptop versus a tablet. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at this thing like, can this, you know, be a part of my, you know, technological things that I use on, you know, everyday use? And I kind of see it there, but I guess I need some more proving a little bit.
And it's a 5-inch screen, which that's, you know, I guess the a lot of the tablets are now 7 inches. So this is, you know, I could see it having some kind of tablet capabilities on it as well, you know?
Yeah, because it's going to have those apps where you can, you know, it's, I mean, touch sensitive screens, and it's, I mean, it's going to have those apps where you can select different things on it. So, I mean, I guess it is as to be seen.
Definitely. I'm just hoping it does well, because I want to see Sony do. I want to see Sony succeed, because I really love Sony. You know, the PSP or the PlayStation 1 and the PlayStation 2 were just amazing, and what I've played on the PS3, you know, some really good games, and the PS3 is a really good piece of hardware. And, you know, but just a lot of people give it slack. And but
they need software, and they need marketing, you know, to be in the echelon of what they used to be. I mean, that's what made, I don't understand how a company can just flip on its side and just become completely, you know, I guess existential from the market that made them successful. Because, I mean, when you look at the PS, when you look at the PS2, the PS2 was a beast. I mean, it actually was, during that time when the Xbox came out, it was the less performing console, you know. So, but what, you know, got Sony into people's houses is that it had a DVD player for one, and they advertised. Yeah, and they advertised like crazy, and they had software. They had the Grand Theft Autos first. I mean, they had the, you know, I mean, they had the Gears. They had the first-person shooters, you know, first. You know, I mean, they had all this stuff that was, you know, that makes a console what a console is. I mean, a console is defined by their software. The console is defined by bang out titles that do well, and also marketing pushes behind it. And I think along the way, after, you know, the money bags started rolling in, they kind of forgot that. But I really hope that they are successful with this unit, because, you know, I want to get back into portable gaming, and I'm tired of driving to my brother's house just to go pick up his PSP to play one game, and that's it. I want to have, you know, my own, but a lot of times I just cannot justify that purchase, because I bought a PSP and it sat in the corner. You know, it collected dust.
Yeah.
That's definitely but quickly to touch on the other stuff this device does have, it's got the accelerometer and gyroscope motion, like they're six saying axis. Like yeah, oh, yeah, six axis.
Yeah.
And it's saying gyroscope motion sensing. Or sensing, as in the PlayStation Move. So maybe this can be, you can use this as a Move. I don't know.
Ah, no.
That'd be kind of crazy. But
I think it's going to be more or less you'll be able to control gaming, you know, like World of Goo and stuff like that. Like you'll be able to control that type of gaming by, you know, being able to tilt and stuff like that, and then use the controller with the six axis.
Yeah. Then an electronic compass. I don't know why, honestly.
In case you get lost, where
I guess, gaming? But if it's got 3G, I guess maybe. I don't know. I don't know, but and you know, okay. I guess that's it. Is there anything else we didn't touch on?
I think we touched on everything, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it only does everything.
It seems like it. It seems like it's good, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, then where is the keyboard for the word processor?
Oh.
Who says there won't be an on-screen keyboard?
Right.
I'm sure there will be an on-screen keyboard. I mean, it is touchscreen, so. But I guess the look of it, we can touch on that real quick. It looks pretty sleek, but I'm kind of worried about.
It looks pretty.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about the analog sticks, because they seem kind of low.
I don't see a big problem with them. Like I think they're at a good spot.
Yeah, I kind of think that they're fine exactly where they are. I don't make them protrude any more than where they are, because no. You get into the point where people sticking this thing in their pocket and pulling it out and the analog sticks breaking and things like that. It even seems like that may be the case even now, the way it is. I mean, the way it's been shown. Well, I mean, if you buy it.
Yeah,
you just buy a case for it.
Yeah, if you don't get a case for it, then you deserve to have it broken, because cases are not that expensive. I mean, you got to treat your technology. You got to treat them right. You got to be careful with technology.
Right.
Says the person who has broken so many things. but yeah, I'm definitely excited about this. I mean, as far as spec wise, it went above and beyond what I was expecting. I mean, I honestly didn't think it'd be, you know, as powerful or almost as powerful as the PS3. I was thinking, you know, like I said, dual core. I was hoping for that and whatnot, but it seems incredible. And I think everyone's, you know, they're raising their heads. They're opening their eyes to see what Sony's next move will be. No pun intended. I just thought, as soon as I said move, I just was like, oh wait, I gotta say no pun intended, because I didn't mean that. I'm not that cheesy. But anyways, yeah, I guess we can, or before we take a break, I guess we can touch on the rumor about Amazon and their streaming service there, that it's rumored that they're going to come out with a unlimited streaming basically bonus for their Prime users, their Amazon Prime users.
I thought this has been in place for a while now.
They have Amazon Video on Demand, but it's not okay. An unlimited service. It's, you know, you can, they'll have sales where you can, you know, pick up a rent a movie for, like, you know, sometimes some movies are $1.99 or up to like $3.99, you know, basically like any on demand, you know, service. Okay. Like, but
yeah, it's never been like just free streaming, but this was actually something that was posted up there. Everybody was checking out, and it was actually like a, you know, like a form of like Netflix. So
and it's only their Prime, it's like $70-something a year.
$79,
and you know, that's a damn good deal. I mean, I have Amazon Prime, and mainly because I get a free year for being a student, but it's come in so much handy. I mean, it's a great thing. I mean, free 2-day shipping, and you can get 1-day shipping for only $3.99.
Yeah, and they were comparing it as opposed to Netflix Instant Watch. And that came to a total of $95.88. But, you know, of course, the stuff is not in HD. It's 480p. It's SD. And they have removed
the kind of selection that Netflix
has. Right, exactly. That's the biggest thing. They said that it looked much like Netflix's library, but nobody actually knows at this point because they removed it. So. But it is something to truly think about. I mean, especially if you have Amazon Prime. I personally don't have Prime. But if they were to, I guess, show me that they had the same, you know, library. But man, that HD thing is just big for me, dude. Like, I just need HD. I mean, watching HD on my phone and on my television is like huge for me.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's just a rumor. It's just rumored. I mean,
yeah,
maybe it's
true.
Maybe we'll have some HD content. I don't know, but Amazon Prime. You know, if you order 10 things from Amazon a year, then basically you should get Amazon Prime, because it pays for itself. I mean, free 2-day shipping is just pretty crazy. I mean, I've so far in the last couple months, it's basically paid for itself. I got it for free, but if I did pay for it, it would have paid for itself. Like, I just ordered a PlayStation 3 controller, and it's gonna come on Wednesday. You know, we're recording Monday night. It's gonna come on Wednesday, and that was free to me. I could have gotten overnight for $4, but I mean, it's definitely a good deal, and if they have a bonus, you know, the rumored streaming service for a bonus, then that's just, you know, icing on top of the cake.
Right.
But I guess we can take our break for the OFRN promo, so we'll be right back.
Oh, man. Anthony, look, the door was unlocked, man. I was knocking out there for a while, but nobody ever came, so hope you're cool with me just walking in.
OFR, man, I love these podcasts.
Anthony.
Great. Open Farm Radio.
Anthony. Dude, can you even hear me?
There's 10
Bro, I brought pizza. Vic. Your favorite, dude. Pepperoni Humpers.
Man, they got so many
Anthony.
Podcasts, dude. They're, like, awesome.
God, what are you so consumed with? Dude, listen. I got some big news. Big news. BioWare is going out of business. Sorry, man. I know that's like your favorite, but you know there's just some issues going on up top. They said there's nothing they can do. Can you hear me?
The sports.
Anthony,
subscribe. Sports.
Dude, guess what? Joss Whedon just signed up for season 2 of Firefly.
Oh, dude, prove your point. Yes,
subscribe. It's gonna be on NBC too, so we don't have to worry about Fox canceling them. Dude, can you hear me?
Subscribe.
Anthony. Dude, Christina Hendricks is in the living room waiting on you. I just thought you should know. Christina Hendricks in the living room waiting on you, dude. I'm tired of even trying, man. I'm out.
This website's great. This, dude, did you say Christina Hendricks? What? Bubba, did you say what?
If you want to find some podcasts to keep you entertained for hours and hours, go to openforumradio.com.
And we're back from our break. We decided to change up the show a little bit, and instead of having three recommendations for I Recommend, we're only going to have two, and we're going to save one for next week. We're going to save one that we were planning on talking about, but we're going to – for next week, basically. So we'll only have two this week. And if you were listening in the Ustream, which I only see Blue Man Rule, you heard us talk a little bit about the topic, so you got a sneak peek. Benefits.
Don't give it away, Larry.
It's that's the benefits for showing up to the Ustreams. That
now you can go watch it and know what we actually talking about.
Yes, so you'll be prepared for next time. But I guess we can jump into it. I guess which topics, which ones do y'all want to talk about first? I mean,
we can talk about Slayers first.
Alrighty, the Slayers is my pick, and it's an anime, and it this one is just the Slayers. There's, like, so many different, you know, new different variations of it. Kind of like how it was Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, stuff like that. You know, I think there's, like, six different ones. But this is just The Slayers, and it's available on Hulu. I think, I want to say there's another Slayers, one of their other spinoffs on Hulu too, but I know at least the entire series is on Hulu, The Slayers. And it's like I said, it's an anime, and it's pretty big. I mean, I looked at the wiki. I've never really looked at the wiki, but I've seen a couple of the different spinoffs. I've seen like three of them, and you know, I looked at the wiki and it was just long. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. It seems like it was a huge success. It started out in the 80s all the way to like the 2000-something. And I've talked about this before. You know, I mentioned it on our anime episode, I think. And I've never really seen anyone or talked to anyone who's actually seen this show. So I saw it on Hulu and I said, you know, definitely got to make this my recommendation. What did you guys think about it?
I thought it was pretty funny in the beginning. It kind of it was a perfect reminiscent kind of throwback to the old school anime like Dragon Ball Z. That's like the first thing I thought of when I first seen it. You know, it had the classic, you know, anime comedy with the, you know, with the little snarky comments, and you had your comic relief characters and the, like the long monologues and like the big what do you call it, like the big backdrops behind them, you know, the animated backdrops whenever they're talking or whatever, you know, just kind of silliness mixed in with like the powers and stuff like that. But from what I saw, I looked at the first three episodes. I mean, it was pretty good.
Okay, Stuart?
It actually didn't remind me of Dragon Ball Z. Like the way, like the colors and stuff and the way it was, it actually kind of reminded me more of Sailor Moon.
Really?
There was this one scene I can't remember. I think it was in like the first episode. Like she's powering up and stuff, and you got like a rainbow type thing going up around her, you know, kind of like the Sailor Moon did.
Oh, okay.
That's what got me thinking of Sailor Moon.
Okay. I'm not admitting that I know what you're talking about, because that would be admitting that I've watched Sailor Moon, but
it's okay. Oh. It's okay. Since then, who hasn't?
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely funny. I definitely enjoy it. And if y'all like the first couple episodes, I'd recommend you stick with it, because it's just as good. And the couple of the other ones that I've watched, I mean, the couple of the other series that's in the same universe with the same main character, they're just as good. I mean,
it's called The Slayer's Next.
Is that the other one on Hulu?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I know
it.
There's Slayer's Next, Slayer's Try, Slayer's Revolution something else, and yeah, there's a bunch of them. And I've only seen like Next and I think some of Try, maybe if not all of Try, but yeah, it's definitely a good humorous anime, and it gets a lot deeper. I mean, I think around the third episode, y'all could start seeing where it got a little. It was starting to get deeper in the whole plot of things.
Oh yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also like to most animes take a while for you to kind of warm up to like the comedy of it. I guess it's just because I'm just an anime fan. But from what I watched, it was out of the gate. I mean, some stuff was corny, but like the long monologues and like, you know, the big, like I said before, like the big backdrops, you know, being animated while they're doing these long monologues and everything, and like the cute little punchlines, like that kept going. And it wasn't overly, you know, jokey, but it was just enough to kind of give you that, you know, the extra little added bit of humor, you know, amidst all the other stuff that was going on. That's what I kind of liked about it.
Yeah, like when he was talking about Gowrie, he was talking about how Lena, that he was upset that she was just a little girl and underdeveloped and
oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she was all excited, and then she gets all upset, and she's thinking to herself about, you know, underdeveloped, and she's, you know, basically talking about, yeah, she is, she guesses, and all that stuff's just golden. I mean, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
It's definitely fun. It definitely, you get used to the humor pretty quickly. I guess if that there's no more, you know, like I said, it's on Hulu. You can watch it free streaming online. Each episodes are about 20 minutes each, so it's not like it's an hour long.
No.
And, you know, you sit down, you watch them, you get through them pretty quickly since they're only 20 minutes each. Because I know I'm used to watching shows that are an hour long now.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every show nowadays is an hour long, so it just seemed like I was blown through them when I was rewatching them. But, yeah, definitely give it a try, especially if you're an anime fan. And I know a lot of you are, because when we did our anime show, we had a lot of comments, a lot of positive review. which
or maybe Elf we had a lot to do with that.
So that's true, but a lot of people enjoyed the anime talk, so maybe we need to plan on a second anime show.
Yeah, because most of the older school animes were always designed to be just 30-minute shows. You know, like Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, even one like
every show. Every show back, you know, in like the 80s and 90s were seemed like they were just 30 minutes. Now it's just, you know, in the last 5 years that shows are starting to be an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. I mean, even I watch a lot of Naruto, and even those episodes are only like 20 minutes long technically because the commercials, you know, they're basically removed. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like that sometimes because you can kind of jump in, you know, get a quick episode in 20 minutes. I mean, 20 minutes is nothing. You can pull it up on your phone.
Yeah.
And watch it right quick and, you know, get back to whatever you're doing.
Definitely. But yeah, if y'all stick with the series, I'd like to maybe not on the show, but I'd like y'all to let me know how y'all thought of it. But I guess we can move on to our second recommendation. This one was yours, Henry?
Yes, this is it's on Netflix Instant Queue. This actually came out in 2008. But I stumbled upon it. It seemed like it was pretty interesting. It's Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. It's a reality show. Normally, I really don't like reality shows. I like to watch shows that are, you know, generally made, you know, more like a studio concept or something like that. But this one kind of struck a chord with me because, you know, I'm a real big advocate of helping people out and things like that. You know, seeing kind of the plight of these people who are going through addictions and things like that kind of really like struck a chord with me. It's Dr. Drew, the same Dr. Drew that you knew from Loveline. It's got Daniel Baldwin, Mary Carey, yes, the porn star.
Brigitte Nielsen.
Brigitte Nielsen. It's got Jeff Conaway. You might remember him from Grease and Taxi. It's got Jamie Foxworth. She is
the girl from Family Matters.
Right. Yeah. She was the little girl from Family Matters that just disappeared one day.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching Family Matters. I'm like, okay, where's Jamie at? Like, she just disappeared. Like, oh, she just didn't exist. It's got those guys on there. It's got Chyna from WWF. It's also got Rico Rodriguez, which is a UFC heavyweight champion. There's a couple others.
The rocker the guy dude.
From, yeah,
Seth,
the guy from Crazy Town.
Seth.
Yeah, right. Something. Yeah, yeah. Seth Benzer.
But yeah.
Yeah, it has him on there. But basically, they all submit themselves to Dr. Drew in some type of way into his rehab facility, and pretty much they just go through rehab in this hospital / rehabilitation center, and they sit down and they have groups and things like that, but they're all dealing with something different. A lot of them are dealing with cocaine addictions, marijuana addictions, but really I didn't know Dr. Drew. I didn't even know that he had an actual medical degree and things like that. I just thought that he was just some, you know, guy that was just on Loveline that just talked about a bunch of stuff. But
he's an addictionologist.
Yeah, I
didn't even know that was a word. But
I'm like, what is that? Like, so, he's certified. He knows his stuff, and he breaks him down, man. He actually gets him to kind of open up to him, and not just, you know, him sitting him on the couch type concept. Like, he's actually letting them go to group and talking with the group. And, like, you know, I kind of like how he uses kind of like the playoff different people. Like, if you have mother issues, he'll find somebody that's a mother, and then he'll kind of flip you and then have you talk to that person to kind of give you an idea of where the other person is coming from, or, you know, where your feelings may be kind of harbored at. But all in all, I mean, it's pretty good. What did you guys think about it?
I really don't like reality stuff, really. I mean,
I feel the same way.
I'm really not a big reality show type fan, but This was actually interesting. I mean, a lot of these people I knew from stuff, you know. I grew up watching Family Matters, you know. Grease is probably one of my favorite movies. I mean, I watched WWF, you know, before it got so ridiculous and dumb. And, you know, I saw China. I mean, and, you know, I know a lot of these characters.
There was a time before it was ridiculous?
Yes, there was. But I know a lot of these actors or, you know, these actual people, so.
Yeah, I just like it because of the concept of this in particular show, where it was a little bit more serious than just having, you know, a bunch of celebrities just running around a house, or, you know, just a bunch of celebrities just having, you know, promiscuous
it's
sex with each other.
Definitely different than the surreal life or some of these stupid shows. But
exactly, like, I mean, this is actually about their health and about their lives. I mean, because Jeff is pretty. I mean, Jeff, he was pretty. You know, he's pretty worse off, man.
Yeah, and the reason why I kind of like it is I know all these familiar faces, and seeing them now, they look most of them look like shit from all the addiction, you know, from you know, being addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever. I mean, that stuff really does a number on your body in the, you know, your appearance.
Yeah, and physically.
And, you know, seeing Jeff from, you know, Grease and Taxi. I mean, he was just, like you said,
he was bad.
Yeah, he was really bad. And I mean, that just opens your eyes to, you know, the fact that this kind of stuff is a real big problem. And
yeah, I mean, especially when you're taking stuff like he was. I mean, Xanax, Oxycontin. I mean, then doing cocaine. I mean, your body is completely numb.
Drugs before he went to rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1,000 worth of like pain pills and shit like that. That fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then showed up with like a glass of alcohol in his hand.
Right. And then the girl was like, she was like saying, you know, hey, when you take as many painkillers as he does, you know, like a regular pain, like, you know, if you stump your toe on like a table or something, like that feels like, you know, I mean, a fire alarm is going off in your body because you're not used to pain at all, because you're used to being numb from all types of pain. So like when you have like a small thing happen to you, it's terribly excruciating.
Yeah, you stub your toe, it feels like your foot got ran over.
I know.
Yeah,
but I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm actually watching. I'm going to watch the rest of the season. I mean, I've been watching more than the first few episodes. I'm definitely enjoying it. And, I mean, I do think it's kind of crazy the way Mary Carey dresses around all the, you know, when you're not supposed to have that type of environment. I'm surprised they didn't really try to tone that down.
Yeah. Episode 4,
I've seen.
They kind of nip that in the bud.
Yeah, with the whole Daniel Baldwin thing. Yeah,
right.
I've gone up to that part where he leaves and there's the drama with him. But, I definitely think that, you've seen the whole season, right, Knox?
No, not the whole.
Oh, how far have you gotten to it?
5.
Well, you know the whole Daniel Baldwin fiasco, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't blame the dude. The way she was dressing, you know? And you're not allowed to, like, you know, do anything. Or when you have visitations, you're not allowed to go in, like, your bedroom with your wife or anything like that. And you got someone just basically, you know, wearing shirts or whatever where their breasts are just about to flop out.
Yeah, but the only thing is, I don't think that they were more so getting on him because of the act. I think because he came in with this whole self-righteous attitude, and he was kind of like not really talking down to everybody, but he came in like he was just like, like he had it beaten, and he's like telling everybody what they should do and things like that or whatever. Then well, up
despite
comes,
what he did, that well, everything he said is true. I mean, everything he says should be. There's no change of what he said. I mean, they really should. You know, everything he said still remains true, even if he, you know, his situation, even if, you know what I mean? I mean.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But he was, when he left, he was trying to make it seem as though, you know, the way he put it, he was like, well, this situation is not conducive to my sobriety because of whatever, whatever. And it's not like you didn't take it upon yourself to perform this act or whatever. Like, nobody forced you to do it. You know, I mean, regardless of whatever is around you, I just don't think that justifies the means to the end. You know, I mean, without giving too many spoilers, but, you know, I just, you know, I think that they were more disappointed at that type of action, to where he would put, like, I guess, a blame or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely.
What made him do what he did.
I can definitely see that, but like I said, I don't think it was entirely his fault. I think.
Oh, no, know, no.
The whole Mary Carey and whatever drama stuff, you know, basically everyone, a lot of the people there didn't act appropriately, and things got the way it did. And I think it did become, you know, a problem with his sobriety.
Oh, yeah.
So I think him leaving was a good thing, because I think that the atmosphere it had become, you know, was, you know, a problem for him, or could be become a problem for him. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. It's really deep. I mean, it's a deep show, and it shows, you know, the emotion that, you know, that people go the hard emotions with addiction. I mean, I think all of us have, you know, if not us, we've witnessed people with some type of addiction that's been, you know, crucial to the living environment. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it like I said, it gets deep, and it kind of hits a little close to home. So. And it's interesting, you know, but, Stuart, you've kind of been quiet because we haven't really let you talk.
No, you haven't. What I was going to say before is what kind of made me chuckle at the beginning was the stuff that they confiscated from Mary Carey.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man.
That made me kind of chuckle a bit. But, yeah, I only made it through, like, an episode and a half. So, you guys were farther in. So, I just got stacked.
Did you not like it, or?
I dislike most reality shows. I think the only one I've actually liked was called The Colony.
Oh, that was, yeah.
That was really good, because I liked the concept of that. But other than that, I don't like reality shows at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, but a lot of the reality shows are stupid, where, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, they are having sex and, like, or doing crazy stuff and, you know, all this and that. But, you know, this seems like, you know, they're actually going through real hard problems. And
I'm not against what they're doing. It's just, you know, maybe the public shouldn't see it.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Like, you know, they are still human beings. They should have a private life, even if they want to flaunt it. I don't think I'm not the one who wants to see it.
Yeah, but like the Ballroom Brother was like saying, maybe because I mean, you gotta admit, I mean the masses that are out there that flock to reality TV, not the brightest group, you know. I mean, not the. I mean, you know, because they're gonna flock to whatever's popular, whatever celebrities are doing. They're gonna like, and they're gonna flock to it. And of course, the network execs are gonna feed into that mass, you know, consumption of what they want. But I think something like this, where it's showing real problems that anybody can relate to in some form or fashion, because just like Will said, I mean, you have a relative, you have friends, you have somebody that you know that you've seen, or yourself, you know, personally could be dealing with any type of addiction, and to see these people go through this and to have their status, you know, it may have the ability to speak to somebody on a much broader scale. Because let's say, for instance, you know, I was on there. Like, I mean, nobody knows me. I'm a nobody. So the show is not going to be as interesting as it would be if I got to see, you know, quote unquote, my favorite celeb go through something, you know. And it's not like they're actually exploiting them, because they're putting themselves out there. I mean, they have a choice to say no or not.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. And I mean, it can definitely open people's eyes, because most people who are addicted to some type of substance, they don't think they have a problem. But if they're watching this, they can see, they could probably see, you know, this seems very familiar to my life. And, you know, is this actually how I am? And it basically can help benefit other people, I'm thinking. But
yeah, I understand. It's just I'm not one to want to watch, you know. Well, you know, with Jeff, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's definitely fair. Yeah, definitely. I definitely am gonna probably finish the first season. I don't know if I'm gonna watch any of the others, just because I don't really know any of. I don't know if the other characters will, or the other actors or celebrities will be more appealing, or if I'll just be tired of it. You know, one season probably seems like enough.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's only like 10 episodes too, but I think it was just something that it was good to, you know, kind of tell a little bit of truth and kind of get in and get out.
Yeah, but it was definitely a good pick, I think. And I guess with that, we can go to our geek question of the week.
Yeah, the geek question of the week. I mentioned it, you know, last episode. You know, superpowers. What would they be? What would you do with them? You know, kind of easy one, kind of cop out, but I don't care.
Not as easy as you would think, though. Stuart, your question. I always make you go first since it's your question. Yeah.
it's actually really hard for me, because, you know, I have an overactive imagination. I tend to have every superpower in my daydreams. So to pick one,
don't tell me it would be to get other people's powers like on Heroes.
I thought about that one.
I did too, but then I thought, no, that's kind of a cop out.
I think it would be the ability for ice, because I've always been fascinated with ice.
You stole mine.
I don't know why. I like ice. And, you know, it seems appropriate with the blizzard outside.
I was about to say, you're about to be happy, aren't you? But yeah, like I said, you kind of stole mine. I was thinking ice too. I mean, just seeing like, on like X-Men, you know, Iceman, you know, sliding around, you know, kind of like, I guess, kind of like surfing, skateboard, whatever type with the ice, you know, trails and stuff like that just seemed really cool. I'd maybe want to broaden it a bit, and kind of like one of our user submitted, and like basically manipulating water. Basically. Yeah. All different types of ways, but and we heard Knox's last week. You want to remind the audience, if maybe they didn't listen last week, which yours was?
Yes, sir. The ultimate power of them all. Air. Telling you, man, air is where it is. I mean, you can control everything. You can do anything. You can save somebody that's underwater. I mean, what can you do against air? I mean, you can't see it. I mean, it's perfect. It's a perfect power. Air takes up space. You can create centrifugal forces. You can pretty much blow up anything with air, because, I mean, you can suck the oxygen out of a room. It's the ultimate power, man. I'm telling you.
Can stop,
Airman.
Can stop fires.
There you go.
Suck the air away from the fires. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, that would be pretty interesting to suck like the air from water and see what would be left, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess Stuart,
I would ask, if I didn't have ice, I would rather have be time manipulation. You know, freeze time, I can sleep longer. You know. Or, what the, you know.
What the, was that show a long time ago with the girl that could put her two fingers together and freeze time? Can't think of the name of that show.
I don't know.
She was
no
like an
know.
Alien or something. Oh, man.
It kind of sounds familiar.
She could, like, put her two fingers together and time would freeze or whatever, and she'll take care of some stuff and she'll put her fingers together again and it would come back. It was a real old show.
I don't
know. I can't think of the name of that show.
But I guess, yeah, if I couldn't do the ice or water or whatever thing, I guess being able to, like, I guess walk through walls or walk through, you know, objects would be pretty interesting.
You drop
Kitty
a bang.
Pride.
No, I just I don't know. It would just be interesting. I would never have to fiddle around with my keys to get into my house, especially if I got to use the restroom really badly.
Think of how that one can go. I mean, yeah, rob a bank. You can't get caught because they can't grab you. They can't shoot you. They can't do anything.
Yeah, but I realistically, I wouldn't want that because I'd be afraid that I'd just fall through the earth. I've always thought about that. You know, whenever you see, like, on X-Men, that they're walking through objects, why don't they fall through, like, the earth, you know? If they're able to go through objects, you know, the ground, the earth isn't, you know. But, yeah. But, you know, if that wasn't, you know, if you could somehow walk through objects without falling through the earth, that would probably be a cool one, I would think. I don't know. User feedback?
Okay, from Twitter. Stuart. Cookie, the 360 Cookie. I've always liked the idea of having super speed. I'd maybe prefer teleportation. So he changed it. In order to travel the world every day, I'd teleport to Rome to get pizza on my lunch break. You know,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
I thought about super speed, but the thing with that is your metabolism would be high and you'd be eating a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see the Flash on, like, the cartoons or whatever. He's always grubbing down. That'd be pretty pricey.
Well, you know, I'm always eating anyway, so.
Well, it's the same, so it'd be a lot more.
I would just get skinny instead. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. But the cost of it, you know, that the I guess the cheap bastard in me is afraid of that. Then again, you could eat a lot of ramen to keep. I guess.
Oh, I hate ramen.
Yeah.
You hate ramen?
Oh, are yeah. My college roommate made it all the time, and the smell of it just threw me off ramen.
What type of ramen? There's so
I don't know.
Many different types.
I don't know. The really bad-smelling one.
Okay.
That's what
I mean, there's
it was.
There's different types, and there's different flavors.
And ramen is the breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch, supper of champions.
So that's so cheap, and you can anything with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and you got any flavor you want. You got shrimp, you got chicken, you got pork, you got beef. I mean,
spicy.
Exactly.
That just doesn't sound good to me. Shrimp noodles? No.
So good.
So good. Yeah. Definitely. And it's like 10 cents a package.
And then we mentioned cheap.
Yeah, 10 cents a package. Oh, I love that.
Scarfinger. Total water control.
Yes,
you know,
that's
like the dude on the sword. I don't know. I've never seen the sword.
I've never seen the sword either.
He could do anything from controlling people to making ice with and killing with it.
Oh, okay.
With water control, I mean, we're practically water. So.
Yeah, but I honestly don't see how you could turn water into ice because how would you do that?
But you just lower the temperature of it.
No, you just release energy. I mean, the science behind it is just release energy, ice.
I guess, yeah.
If you can control water, you can control the molecules. You can just slow them down.
Okay, but wouldn't that be just controlling molecules in general? I mean, can you really just control water molecules and no other molecules?
H2O may be the only kind of element you can control.
Well, I guess. I mean, in that case, you can control air molecule or oxygen molecules since oxygen's in water.
No, because water is a mixture of – yeah, because water makes – like even though water is made up of, you know, oxygen and hydrogen, it's still – when you mix those two elements and it comes together, then water is that new element. It's H2O. So, you know, what you're doing is just controlling that element.
Okay.
I mean, if you go down to the oxygen, I mean, that's going down to atoms. I mean, not really the molecules, because molecules is the element.
Okay. I guess I can see that.
Maybe when you hone your skills, maybe you can control multiple elements.
Yeah. Definitely. In any other?
From Facebook.
Oh, wow.
We got a couple from there. Lindsay Jones, my superpower would be to read minds. Bwahaha.
I wouldn't want that because, you get to the point where what if you can't control it? It would just be like a headache in your – If you heard stuff you didn't want to hear and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know what everybody's thinking.
Because sometimes not knowing is good.
Yep.
she's a friend of mine, so I know why she did it. She's just that kind of person. Anyway, Angry Pod Bubba, mind control, free money, always get your way. Be the life of the party and always get to be player one in Super Mario.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would love that just because I could do the whole Jedi thing, you know. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Get to me a cheeseburger.
I don't
want to
tell you that sticks.
Get to me a cheeseburger.
That definitely would be fun. Any other?
No, that's it.
I've got one, actually. I just looked. Flipper Dolphin on Twitter said my superpower would be invisible so I can hide from my wife.
I totally missed that one. I have no idea where it's at.
He replied to me. I retweeted it. And
okay.
I guess he replied to me. I just saw it randomly.
Okay.
But yeah, invincibility would be pretty cool too. You could definitely sneak into stuff and, you know,
again,
I guess
robbing the banks.
Robbing banks, but cameras would not see you. So that definitely would be interesting. But you know, when you get down to it, invisibility doesn't mean you're still there. You still can, get injured, and
you can still get shot.
You'd have to be running around naked, but to truly be invisible, and I don't know about y'all, but I would not want to run around naked a lot of places. I'd like some protection between my private parts.
I've seen some variations of invisibility.
I guess
like one is just clothes can go invisible too.
I guess if you have the maybe camouflage objects, you'd be able to camouflage yourself and your clothes.
Yeah, that way you can carry the money out too.
Yeah. All of a sudden, people see just stacks of money, just walking away, floating. So I guess there's so many other powers out there. I mean, I flying, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I don't know if I think I'd probably get tired of it or afraid that I'd fly into a helicopter or an airplane would fly into me or something like that, There's a lot of good pros and cons to superpowers if you actually think about them.
Yeah, the sad part about it is that anything we think of, somebody can probably point to a TV show, a comic book, or an anime or a cartoon at one point in time, and it's already been taken.
Definitely.
I mean, we have, characters out there like Calendar Man. I mean, come on.
Well, he's a villain. But,
yeah, it's guaranteed. But they still got powers, though.
I thought of the superpower. My superpower would be to make people leave iTunes reviews. Best superpower ever. Geeks for the Win would be number one
there on iTunes.
That was a good question. Do you got one for next week or?
Next week's would be technology based. Like a piece of technology that doesn't exist that you would like to have to make your life easier or entertainment, something like that.
Okay, and could you
that does not exist.
Well, could you take aspects from other technologies and combine them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like make something completely new.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So, you got a whole week to, basically come up with an answer.
And I want blueprints. or prototype.
And you better patent it, or we'll steal it. But I guess with that, we can I can go into the whole feedback. There's a variety of ways you can leave us feedback, and we thank those who have left us feedback with the geek question of the week. Would definitely helps us, gives us, look into stuff we didn't think about, And you can leave feedback a variety of ways, Facebook, search for Geeks for the Win, Twitter.com/TheGeeksFTW, where we post the geek question of the week probably a few times a week, pretty frequently, and we all basically retweet it like crazy. So
You can also hit us up individually. I'm at KNOX Broadcast.
Stuart?
I'm at Casual Terror.
And I am at Poetic Soul 44. And like I said, we basically retweet everything that the Geeks for the Win Twitter tweets out, so more ways to spread it out. But if you don't do Facebook or Twitter, I'm kinda shocked. But you can,
How'd you find us?
Exactly.
We want to know.
You can leave us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. Or if you're just not really, if you don't have time to really write stuff down, you can give us a call at the voice line at 1-347-GEEK-FTW or, you know, 1-347-433-5389. And I guess long distance fees apply or whatever. I don't know. I honestly don't know which area code that is, so I just searched Geek FTW or variety of ways and found that, so, you know. But, you know, nowadays, long distance fees aren't really, there's really not long distance fees because most people have cell phones and they get nationwide, you know, calls or whatever, so. But, you know, we love iTunes reviews, of course. You know, leave an iTunes review. You want to leave an iTunes review. Just seeing if that power works. You know, you can also go to the Open Forum Radio Network forums, which there's a link on our website. Our website, again, is at thegeeksftw.com. And we, I hardly go on there, but I'm trying to make an effort to go on there more and, you know, get involved and post fun stuff and, you know, I guess maybe post the geek questions of the week there so we can, you know, talk about it. You know, another, I guess, way for you to, you know, discuss and see what other people say. And, you know, also I want to, remind you again, I've kind of made this comment earlier, but the OFR guys are giving away, you know, a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops. You know, all you got to do is take a couple minutes and just leave an iTunes review. That's it.
For the Xbox 360.
Oh, is it for the, okay. I didn't know or not. But yeah, a $60 game. Right when it's got DLC coming out, everyone will be playing it. Well, everyone who has the game will be playing it like crazy because of the DLC. So, you know, that's a pretty good prize right there. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hoping that maybe, you know, I qualify because I'm kidding. I already own it. But if I did win, I would be the nice guy and be like, oh, give it to the next person. But and I guess I want to thank Blue Man Rule for, you know, we are doing this on Ustream live, so
Mondays
yeah, or we try to start around 7:30. It may be 7:45 before we actually start our whole show intro, but 7:30 Central Standard
that's Central Time.
Yeah,
and just the area code 347 is one of the six area codes from New York City.
Alrighty.
There you go.
Awesome. So, I want to thank Blue Man Rule for joining us. He was the only person on viewing us today. And he got the exclusive sneak preview of one of our topics next week. And I guess with that, we can go into shout-outs. Stuart?
I would like to shout-out the fact that Champions Online is now free to play, and I totally have a level 6 ice guy.
Nice. Is that it? Is there no shout-outs for real people?
Just, you know, the same thing I would shout out. Our writers, you know, Nox, Cookie for posting the deals of the week, Elf, everyone else I'm forgetting.
Yeah, Did Cookie post one last week? I don't think he did.
I think he did.
Oh, he did?
It might have just been on Twitter. I don't know. But I remember seeing something.
Alrighty, just curious. But yeah, thanks to all those guys, of course.
Yeah.
Henry, shout out.
Oh yeah, as always, shout out to you guys, man. Enjoy being on the show. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my wife. Actually, shout out to my younger brother, man. His name is quite unique on Xbox Live, and he's a MLG Halo playing full, and he is at hero status. If you play Halo Reach, you know how much that is and how high of a rank that is. shout out to my other younger brother, man. He's crazy on Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Never thought I had a brother stab me in the back so much, but yeah. shout out to them. Shout out to the whole OFR crew. Shout out to Scarcasm Live crew. You know who you are. Shout out to everybody on PGR and Tag, and shout out to everybody who's doing podcasting and gaming it up and geeking out.
Alrighty. Indeed. And I guess I got a few shout outs. Shout out to Forgetful from the Tag community, Knucklehead from the Tag community, Ace Black. That's right, Ace Black.
The Ace Black?
No, Ace Black.
Oh, really?
I refuse to say the Ace Black, except for right then and there. But
bum, bum, bum.
I'm kidding. But I've been playing Crysis 2 with and some a little Call of Duty with those guys, and a couple others that I don't really know too much. I'm not too familiar with, so I can't really give them a shout out because I forgot them. And you know, shout out to the rest of the OFR network. You know, all the podcasts are so great. I mean, the Angry Mailman guys are just funny. You know, every week I can count on a good laugh from them. You know, the OFR guys I can count on, you know, talking about, you know, all the variety of different shows and stuff and sports. You know, of course they'll be talking about sports, and I guess that's good because I'm starting to slowly get into sports. And I just want to tell them, stick with the cape. The cape is good. I just watched the well, not the latest episode because it came on while we were recording, but the second to latest episode, and it's pretty interesting. I liked it. I know a lot of them are some of them are wishy-washy about the cape and stuff like that. So, and I guess shout out to Cameron University. I just got a text message saying they're closed tomorrow, so I don't have class because of the ice storm or blizzard we're about to have. So that's good because I didn't want to have to get up in the morning and travel to class in 14 degree snowy weather.
Yeah,
heard that, man.
I got a call while we were recording, and I'm guessing it's saying no school tomorrow. So I don't work tomorrow. That kind of sucks.
Well, you've had a lot of those, haven't you?
Yeah, we've had quite a few. Like we're already going into June.
That's crazy. One year we had something like that, and we went, instead of going later, we had Saturday classes because they didn't want to take our summer away.
That's what they should do, but nope. No, and like Martin Luther King Day in the past, it's always been a built-in snow day. No, they had an actual day off when we already had like five snow days built.
It's always been President's Day for us was an inclement weather day, I think. But Martin Luther King was a snow day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
Like it was a day to come in if we had already had a snow day, but we didn't do it. Like we just took the day off.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, snow days can definitely fail. I know I'm disappointed you won't be coming to PAX because of the damn snow days.
Yeah.
But that's a different topic. I guess wrapping this up. This, like I said, this has been episode 30. You know, 30. Next big mark will be, I guess, 40. And we're coming on a year since we started.
Yeah, we are. That shows you how well we've been going weekly.
Yeah, we've had problems. we've had problems. We had, yeah, you know, the time where we were going to quit, and then we decided not to because everyone said, don't quit, don't quit. We'll do whatever we can to help. And how can you ignore that, you know?
People saying,
we don't want you to quit. We enjoy your show.
Yeah, so, we can't ignore that.
Our heads got big.
We love you guys.
Our heads grew and they got big and we decided to keep on keeping on. But I guess, you know, with that, this has been episode 30 and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Over the hill. Adios.